1 Peter chapter 4, starting at verse 12. Dear friend, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come on you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice in as much as you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. If you suffer, it should not be as murderers or a thief or as any other kind of criminal or even as a meddler. However, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name, for it is time for judgment. For it is time for judgment to begin with God's household. And if it begins with us, what will the outcome be for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if it is hard for the righteous to be saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? So then, those who are suffering according to God's will should commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Dawn. And now Alan's going to come and tell us all about it. Over to Alan.
Hello. I trust everyone can hear me okay. Give me a thumbs up. Brilliant. Good. Let me pray as we begin. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word to us. Thank you for speaking to us and making yourself known. I thank you that you do that ultimately in your Son, Jesus. As we read this bit of the Bible, as we hear these words that Peter wrote down that you inspired by your Spirit, please may we hear your voice and respond rightly. Amen. Now, today's passage, it is a weighty one. And so from the outset, let me be honest, this sermon may be a touch longer than usual, not by much, but that's because the issue of suffering always needs to be worked through without rushing it. So, how do you feel about suffering as a Christian? Now, let me be clear. This life is filled with many trials and all different types of sufferings, many of which are common to all peoples of the earth. I mean, there's natural disasters, like the volcano that erupted near Tonga. There's sickness. We're familiar with that one, with COVID. And then there's a loss of loved ones, also a mark of the pandemic. But I'm not talking about general suffering in that kind of way. I'm talking about specific suffering. This passage talks about specific suffering as a Christian, as a follower of Jesus. I wonder, what do you think about that sort of suffering? How do you feel about the prospect of suffering in this way? Now, last week, our church, Emmanuel Brentwood, we began our journey looking through the book of 1 Peter, and we're looking forward to discovering or rediscovering the message from God to his people in this letter. But you guys are ahead of us in this, and so you know just how much suffering is a repeated theme in this part of scripture, right? It's one of the most obvious repeating subjects in this letter. I mean, the words trial and suffering, they appear roughly 19 times. That's every fifth or sixth verse. And today's passage is no different. Yay, more suffering in 1 Peter. Whoop, whoop, yeah. It's funny, isn't it? We get familiar with reading passages like this, but actually, this passage is very helpful for us. It prepares us for what may be ahead. That's what Peter was doing as he was writing to the Christians spread across the known world at that time, in this particular area of the Roman Empire. He's getting them ready for what may be coming. And we'll see as we look through that this is helpful for us too. Now, actually, today's passage is a bit like the beginning of the end of the letter. If Peter were preaching this letter in a sermon, it'd be the moment that the preacher says, and so to sum up, you know, that bit when a lot of us realize that our mind has wandered off somewhat and we get a second chance to pick up on the key points. And while this does help us with our relationship with Jesus, if we're honest, all we're concerned about is having something to say over coffee when someone asks us, what did you get out of the passage today? It's that bit of the letter summing up what he said before. So let's remind ourselves of what Peter wrote in verses 12 to 13. Have a look with me in your Bibles. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice insofar as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. This passage begins, beloved. This strikes a tender tone, doesn't it? One of care and concern. This is not the brash and impetuous Peter who cuts people's ears off. This is Peter, the repentant and humbled pastor teacher, probably in chains in Rome, facing his own fiery trial that would lead to his death, just as Jesus himself had foretold. We get that in John, at the end of John's Gospel, John 21. But then what does he say? Maybe it's John 22. I made a note of that, but I didn't actually look it up. Have a look later. But then what does Peter say? He says, beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal when it comes upon you to test you. In the rest of the passage, Peter says, if you are insulted, if anyone suffers. But here, the reality of trial for you as a Christian is given as a certainty, not just a mere possibility. This is because, as Jesus himself pointed out in John's Gospel, if the world rejected Jesus, then it will also, in one way or another, reject us, his followers. Or, as Peter says, don't think as though something strange were happening to you, something unusual. And so we mustn't be surprised. Now, I get the feeling that most of us here, we're Christians, right? Then we will suffer in some way, somehow. I say this in a tender way. Get used to the idea. Friends, please don't go through life as a Christian, hoping, maybe even praying, not to suffer as a child of God. I was really thankful in our fellowship group this week. One of our members was very honest and very vulnerable. She said, I pray God keep me from suffering. Now, in one sense, that's okay to pray, but she was very fearful. Hoping, even praying not to suffer as a child of God, that's a false hope. And it's the wrong kind of prayer to pray. Instead, be aware that it is normal for Christians to suffer in some way. And so ask God to help you to be ready for it when suffering eventually comes, when trial eventually comes. And when it does come, do something very surprising, something that the world just doesn't understand. Rejoice in it. Now, let me be clear. This doesn't necessarily look like smiles and happy faces in rejoicing. In fact, in my experience and seeing this in others, this looks like broken hearted, full of tears, rejoicing. But rejoicing, an outpouring of praise to God, nonetheless. And this doesn't mean rejoicing over the sin and pain in suffering. These things are bad things that should rightly grieve God's people. When we hear of Christians being persecuted, we should rightly get upset. It should touch us in our hearts. When we receive suffering and trial, this isn't saying that we should be happy about it, but we should rejoice. Praise God. Insofar as you share Christ's suffering. If you suffer rejection by the world as Jesus was rejected by the world, then you can rejoice because A, it shows that you are one of his people. And B, if you shared in his sufferings in this way, then you will share in his glory when Christ returns. What a great hope that gives us in suffering. It's almost like it's a badge to check that you are actually a Christian. Am I suffering? Then I must be a Christian. Am I suffering for the name of Christ? Then I must be one of his people. Let's read on. Verses 14 to 16. If you are insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. But let none of you suffer as a murderer or a thief or an evildoer or as a meddler. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in that name. Now, at this point, Peter draws a distinction between suffering unjustly as a Christian, standing up for Christ, and suffering justly as a Christian who has fallen into sin. Do you get the difference? One is suffering as a Christian. The other is suffering as a Christian who has done something wrong. Sometimes we may suffer as a Christian because we have done something wrong. If you fiddle your expenses, then you may get in trouble at work. If you lie on an insurance claim or dodge your taxes, you may get in trouble with the authorities. And if you suffer for these things, then you are suffering for your sin, not for the name of Christ. But for lots of Christians in the UK, this needs to be nuanced a bit. If someone is a bit off with you at work, or if people are posting strong or even abusive posts online, if people are gossiping about you behind your back, check first that it's because you are being faithful to Christ and not just because you're being a div. You see, it's very easy, isn't it, to shoot our mouth off at Christians and speak out of turn. And when people turn on us, to think that we're suffering as a Christian, whereas instead we're suffering because actually we've been stupid. So make sure that you're being faithful when you suffer. Make sure your suffering is because you are being faithful. Christians will suffer. And if you suffer, then something surprising is true. You are blessed. Don't consider suffering as a bad thing that must be avoided at all costs, and certainly don't be ashamed of it. Sure, it's not something that we look forward to. It's not something that we should go seeking out, but don't think it's necessarily a bad thing, and certainly don't be ashamed of it. Instead, consider it a mark of blessing and a reason to give glory to your Father in heaven. I think this is the truth about suffering that we have lost sight of most in comfortable 21st century Christianity, that suffering for the name of Christ is an honor and a privilege and a blessing. Think of it like this. How much of a sign of God's favor upon us that he would entrust something so precious, so significant, something so closely linked with the person and work of his son as suffering to people like you and I. It is a blessing. It is a privilege. It is an honor. So don't be surprised by suffering as a Christian. Instead, rejoice in it and consider it a blessing because after all, you are being tested and shown to be genuine in your faith. That's in verses 17 to 18. Let's have a look at it. For just as for it is time for judgment to begin at the household of God. And if it begins with us, what will be the outcome for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if the righteous is scarcely saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? Remember back in verse 12, Peter wrote, the trial comes upon us, what does he say? To test you. Verses 17 to 18 make it clear that there are two forms of testing or trial going on. There's the trial or judgment, as it uses the word, of the world. And then there's the trial and judgment of God. Now, I'll be honest, at first glance, verse 17 seems confusing, yeah? Now, it might be helpful to remember that the word judgment, a word that we usually equate with the judgment of God, is used a bit more broadly here, I think. This isn't saying, now hear me rightly on this, this isn't saying that suffering as a Christian is God judging you and pouring out his wrath on you now. The Bible as a whole makes it crystal clear that those who turn to Christ face no condemnation in the past, present, or the future. Sure, we are scarcely saved, as verse 18 put it. That is, we are saved not on our own merit, but only by the sliver of unbreakable thread that is Christ's grace and mercy. But we are saved completely, fully, eternally. Instead, the phrase that it is time for judgment to begin at the household of God, it's saying that now is the time for the world to put Christians on trial. See, in the present age between Christ's first coming that we've just celebrated with Christmas and his return on the last day of human history, the world will pass judgment on those who own and cherish the name of Christ, and they will punish us for it. They will treat us badly, differently for it. The world that we live in is a place where those who refuse to turn to Christ get to pass judgment on God's family, his household, and treat us however they see fit. Yet, under God's sovereign hand, our suffering, well, it becomes a good thing. It only serves to be a blessing for God's people. The world seeks to crush us, but God, in his sovereignty, uses our suffering to strengthen us. Because of Christ who died for us and the Spirit who lives in us, the suffering that God allows us to endure, whatever it looks like, whether it's very severe suffering or light suffering, it merely proves our faith genuine, and so we stand more firmly on Christ. Suffering tests our faith. It proves it and strengthens it even further. Like a blade in the furnace, it's heated and smashed with a hammer to make it stronger. Sometimes that is what God does with us and our faith. He uses suffering to refine us and strengthen us. And he does so by allowing the world to pass judgment on us. It's like God says, okay, it's your turn. But things won't stay this way forever. If the world gets to pass and execute judgment on the household of God now, what then will happen when the time comes for things to be the other way around? I tried long and hard to think of a way to portray this, and this is the best I could come up with, okay? If you like, in the great game of cosmic conkers, if you know that game with the you know, chestnuts off of a tree and string, and you whack the other person's conker, and you try and blat it before they blat yours. In the great and cosmic game of conkers, the Lord is letting the world around us go first. And try as they may, they swing and they swing, they hit God's people this way and that until they're blue in the face and out of breath. And sure, they bruise us sometimes. Yes, they batter us. They may even kill us. Or the Western equivalent, cancel us. But like the conker baked in the oven so it's rock hard. I'm sure I'm not the only one that did that. I don't know if you know that that's a little trick you can do. If you want a rock hard conker, bake it in the oven gently and it becomes solid, as you like the conker baked in the oven. God's people have been baked in the oven of Christ's suffering upon the cross and our continued afflictions at the hand of those around us. It serves to do one thing, make us stronger. Forgive me, this might be helpful to other people. I'm a fan of Red Dwarf, and there's an episode in Red Dwarf, it's a space comedy, where they go on this ship, and it's a penal colony ship, and there's this thing called the Justice Zone, and you enter it, and it's this field where if you hit someone, you get hit. So if you punch someone in the face, you find that your nose gets broken. In God's wonderful sovereignty, that is sort of what goes on with our suffering. Except we do feel it, but it only serves to make us stronger. And it serves to make the condemnation that is coming on the world greater. And so, despite the best efforts of the world to break us in that cosmic game of conquers, God's household remains unbroken and strong. And then, on the last day of human history, the Lord God of heaven and earth will wind up his string. He will take his stance. And with Christ's return in glory, he will say, "Now it's my turn. For it is time for judgment to begin at the household of God. And if it begins with us, what will be the outcome for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if the righteous is scarcely saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? For those that persecute and put on trial and cause the Lord's people to suffer, they are only storing up greater condemnation for themselves. Now, we mustn't delight in this. We never delight in the condemnation that is coming upon sinful men and women. But we can have hope. For my children, I use this illustration. I get three bears, a small bear, a medium bear, and a big bear. And I say, "You are the little bear. And it might be that someone, a bigger bear, comes along and is mean to you. And that's not nice. But if they're doing it because you trust in Jesus, then remember that he is the biggest bear of all. And he is standing beside them. And one day he will tap them on the shoulder and they will have to answer for how they treated you." Now, there's much more that we could consider from these verses, but ultimately the issue of suffering as a Christian is a matter of trust. Put simply, will you trust Christ with your suffering for his name's sake? Have a look with me at verse 19. "That therefore, let those who suffer according to God's will entrust their souls to a faithful Creator while doing good." Christians do not suffer randomly and without purpose. We suffer because God has allowed it as our Creator who cares for our very souls. Now, I'm aware that so far I've been talking as if all of you are Christians and have accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, and that may well be true. But what if you're not yet a Christian? Or what if you are talking to someone who isn't yet a Christian and they hear this sermon or they find out about suffering Christians and they say, "Why on earth would you want to accept Jesus as if suffering in this way is part of the deal?" It is a good question and one that I wish I had more time to answer, but let me just make two observations. First, suffering for the truth is better than living comfortably with a lie. If you have seriously considered Christ, then you know how much Christianity values and depends on truth. And if you turn your back on Jesus now because of the prospect of suffering, then yes, you will probably live a reasonably comfortable life. but you will know that you will be living a lie. Second, suffering is worth it for what you get in return. Think about childbirth, if you like. Why do women put themselves through such pain and suffering if not for what that pain and suffering produces? A new life. So too with suffering as a Christian. We suffer because of what the results of our suffering produce: a stronger faith, a richer closeness with Christ, and ultimately, life with him in glory. This passage in 1 Peter lifts up suffering as something normal for Christians, something that we shouldn't be deliberately seeking out, but something that shouldn't surprise us either. But more than that, suffering is a blessing, an opportunity to evaluate your faith and to test it, for your trust in the Lord to grow deeper and stronger. This is my experience. I have had the honor of suffering for the name of Christ. And while it wasn't nice at the time, there was lots of tears, there was plenty of heartache with me and my family, and there was pain, not physical, but deeply emotional pain. I wouldn't have it any other way. If I could live those 2 or 3 years that we went through this, and I had a choice to escape that suffering or go through it again, I would go through it again. Because of what it impact it had on me and my family. It was a blessing, and it did deepen and strengthen my faith in Christ and my family's relationship with him too. So stop for a moment. Think over the reality of you suffering as a Christian. And by the way, sometimes that's worthwhile, because sometimes our fears get the better of us, and actually the suffering that we may endure might not be as bad as we think it's going to be. But even if it is, just think over it for a minute. If the Lord were to stand before you today and hold out to you the cup of suffering for the name of Jesus, would you take it from him? If the Lord were to have you drink from it and endure a particular time of hardship as a Christian, would you trust him and do as he asks? Would you, as we sang at the beginning, trust and obey? And if you drank the cup of suffering that he gave you and endured the trial that the Lord had set before you, would you be so bold as to consider it an honor? And even thank him for it. In the light of today's passage, I genuinely and earnestly pray that you would do these things. And in that way, let me pray for us as we finish. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this bit of scripture. I thank you for the truth that it gives us of the reality of suffering for the name of Christ, and that it is a blessing, even though it is a trial, it is a trial that strengthens and refines. Lord, please give us the right attitude with suffering. We don't seek it, we don't delight in it, yet we do rejoice when it comes. And we do consider it a blessing to share in Christ's sufferings in that way. And so, Lord, we look forward to the day when suffering will cease, when you will judge the world for sin, and you bring us into your kingdom where suffering is merely a memory in the past. Amen.
Amen.